Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler, won't say it twice cause we already.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 773.
May I?
Iron Claw.
Oh, you mother mothers.
Wait, is that not what we're doing?
I actually got one.
What's that?
Pirates of the Aquarium.
Oh, man.
I was going to go with Aquaman, The Last Kingdom.
Yeah, it's thank God. Thank
but
God.
This movie is just a Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Yeah.
Oh, all these dead guys have come back and we have to fight them. Yeah. It's literally the plot of Pirates of the Caribbean.
It's the plot of all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, we'll get into it.
Yeah, this is bad. Right. So let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Before we dig in, shameless plugs, don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, iHeart, TuneIn. Wherever you find a podcast, you can find us. While you're there, be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. Maybe leave us a review. Super helpful. Greatly appreciated. It makes a wonderful Christmas present.
It does.
For your fourth favorite podcast.
That's right, yeah.
Be real nice.
You can also find us on the Facebook at facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. It's called the League of Show Sharers because we're hoping you will share an episode. I forgot to pull the League of Show Sharers, so I was doing this on the fly, just looking at the social media. So here we go. Librarian Cynthia. Scroll, scroll, scroll. Jason McLean, Richard Kratzer, Gus Boutisi. No,
hey,
no relation.
None whatsoever.
You'll find out when you do a 23andMe.
That's right.
Julian Jordan, Chris Sanders, Tammy Lynn Powers Betts, Glenn Cougar Mellon Brewer, Brendan McGuckin, Chris Magic Man, Tom Dowdy, Travis Tewitt, Chris Valls, Ralph Tribble, Gabriel Lugo, Heather Sachs, Dissect That Film, Taylor Ward, Brent Smith. And that seems to be all of it. Also, Christopher Rex says he's been sharing it, hasn't showed up, which I blame Mark Zuckerberg for. So,
yeah, and then, I'm glad you saw that because I was about to. Yeah.
And then moving over to the artist formerly known as Twitter, we have David Rojas, Cinema Recall, Spoiler Piece Theater, James Install, Heather Sachs, Sneaks Through Twice. When I can do this, when I spend time on this, I'll weed that out.
Yeah, just right.
But she gets two this week, so well done. Invasion of the Remake, Feeling Film, Geek to Me Radio, Binge Movies, Ryan Terry, Matt Naglia, Colby Mack, Ronnie Castle, again, gets a second one. We will now term the Heather Sachs role.
Castle Doctrine.
Yes. Mike, and Oscar, an in-session film. Joe claims to have shared it.
I did.
I don't, it's not
oh,
showing
I shared it on Twitter.
Don't believe his lies.
I did.
His lies.
Did you?
You liked it.
Did you unfollow me on Twitter?
No.
Is that why I'm not saying it?
Never.
It's not. It's
he
not
was
on
getting
here.
Sick of your pro-Trump rhetoric.
That makes sense. He can't handle the truth.
Yeah, that's social. Truth social.
Yeah. So thank you very much to everyone who shared an episode. And don't forget, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content, and we like you extra. And then also, you can watch all of these episodes over on YouTube at youtube.com/ampersandNEA. Real spoilers.
Yeah.
And thank you for watching Wonka. I guess they got our pleas.
Yeah.
In one day, it got over 100 views. So
that's great. Yeah.
Which I don't know that Dream Scenario is over the 100 view in 2 weeks.
Well, it's a movie that probably made about $4.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
But it hit streaming. It just hit streaming yesterday. So maybe that'll
check it out. It's fun.
It's a good movie. Yeah. So, so anyway, there's all that. Let's dig in.
Has there ever I cannot think of a franchise, and I mean like DC as a whole, that has been such a colossal blunder.
Oh, they might take the
second,
cake.
From the second movie. Like I can forgive Man of Steel because they were trying something.
Right.
And then they just leaned into it. And it's just been with the exception of Wonder Woman.
They got scared and they went, Batman, we have to Batman everything.
Yeah.
I cannot believe, and this is the
This is horrendous.
It's like they have gone out of their way to take all the wrong lessons from their successes.
Yes.
And Aquaman 1 is fun.
It's fun.
That's
like
fun movie.
When I on the DCEU, which I do often, I always say there are good movies in there.
Yeah.
Aquaman, the first Shazam movie, the first Wonder Woman movie, like
the second Suicide Squad.
A little bit of a pattern here though, isn't there? Like the ones that we thought were good, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, Shazam, look at their sequels.
Right.
Terrible.
Every single one of them. Horrible.
Terrible.
Yeah.
And this movie is so disjointed and Frankensteined in the editing room.
Yeah.
From the first scene, the way they cut back and forth and are trying to tell this disjointed story and clearly change the direction of what they were doing. And then they're like, well, I'm at home and I'm married with my kid. I don't know where my wife is. And then all of a sudden, oh, she pops in. There she is in this scene.
Man,
but they didn't get her for the next scene.
You can tell they tried to cut around her as much as they could.
Brutal.
Oh, it's bizarre.
It's also weird how much screen time she has versus how few lines she has.
Because I bet you she was in a ton of the second.
I bet she was the second lead.
And they really just said, oh, we have to have some tissue to connect. Because people are going to ask, like, if she didn't die off, which I guess I don't know why not just kill her. But, but if they don't kill her off, then it's like, well, where is she? So it's like they just peppered her in. Like, there she is.
I think they were trying to walk that line between. Because that whole Johnny Depp, Amber Heard trial, and I honestly followed none of it. So like
it was a mess. It was just a circus.
Although we interviewed his doctor on the clip out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Dr. David Kipper. So I really don't know who's to blame. But he
was fired. WB fired him from the terrible Fantastic Beasts series.
Yep.
But still, he was fired. But she was the one found guilty.
Yeah.
She was found liable. I don't think she's found guilty. There's a different,
it wasn't a criminal.
It wasn't a criminal.
Okay, sorry.
So
she had to pay, ordered to pay him $5 million or whatever.
But he got fired before a verdict came in.
Which is that's what I'm saying, though.
I think that's where I'm going is that, like, I think, like, nobody really knows what to do with these two. And so they didn't feel like confident enough. They felt like if they left her in the movie, they were going to get deal with a lot of backlash. If they kicked her out of the movie, they were going to deal with a lot of backlash. So they did this kind of interim thing to where like she's still there. So you can't complain about that, but she's barely there. So like,
it just feels so weird to even see her show up because she's such a little part of the plot.
Right.
How many reshoots were him and his dad slowly talking over a product placement of Guinness? This has to be one of the most boring superhero movies of all time.
It is
so slow and boring with them stretching it out, doing nothing.
And Momoa just felt like he was phoning it.
He's horrible in this movie. He's so bad in this.
And I didn't like what he did in the last Fast and Furious movie, but I will accuse him of phoning it.
It was something, right?
He was doing something.
This, like, literally felt like they had handed him his page of dialogue the second like, oh, before he started right, filming.
Everything he does, he just yells, and it's horrible. Get away from my wife! It's I didn't, so bad. So I didn't, it was like,
that
so one,
that
cheesy.
Scene doesn't bother me as much because it's like he's, you know.
But it's whole. But like,
we,
I, it's
we
not the
literally
scene, it's
got
horrible
a slow motion tight close up of a screamed no.
Yeah,
like no.
Right, like, right. It, literally,
like
no.
It, like any screenwriting 101 class is going to be like. Red pen. Yeah.
Take it
no,
out.
You are not doing that.
Take it out. Yeah, right, right, right.
Yeah.
It's this movie, it wanted to be Guardians so bad.
Well, it clearly seems that, okay, so this movie was supposed to come out a year ago.
Yes.
It was finished and set for release in 2022, and they shelved it for a year. It went through three rounds of reshoots. The last reshoots, I think, were one, to take away things that would allude to this franchise continuing.
Well, I was saying there was supposed to be Michael Keaton was supposed to be in this
in the first one
in the right and then,
the Walter Hamada version before he got fired, it was Michael Keaton. They wanted him to be the through line.
Right.
Then
it was Affleck.
The people came in and put Affleck in.
Right.
And said, oh well, we want to give people their, you know, DCEU is all Affleck. It's Snyder, Batfleck. That's
right.
You know, their thing. And then the third round was James Gunn and Peter Safran coming in going, no.
We want to CGI Adam West.
Yeah, right.
We are not doing anything that alludes to the Snyderverse continuing, the DC Universe continuing, but also some of the dialogue to me seems exactly like that scene at the end of Shazam 2, faux James Gunn.
Yeah.
There are so many scenes where the humor, I mean, like peeing in his mouth and stuff. Yeah. Like,
God, that
three
was
times?
Three, yeah, that yeah. was awful.
The humor to me was like, oh, we're trying to be edgy and funny, but it's horrible.
Yeah. And then the CGI, again, DC with the CGI baby. Like that CGI
was
baby.
A CGI baby.
Oh my
oh, I thought
God.
The, I
yes.
didn't notice it.
Oh,
I didn't notice it. I thought
no.
the baby looked okay.
Yeah. No.
Looked
I
old
thought
to
it
me.
Looked terrible.
Oh. But you just want that American Sniper baby.
Just give me a fake baby.
No, I'll take the CGI baby over the
plastic baby.
Over the plastic baby.
That was so bad.
That was so bad. That was like, I was like, is he having a mental breakdown? Does he think that that's a baby? Is that what's going on?
Because we all know it's not a baby.
That would be great, really, though, for the end of that movie. It's like they gave him a fake baby, and like there's a whole, like, you know, he's like living in a Truman
show.
They
do a Shutter Island.
All, yeah.
Yeah, right.
And the rest of the movie plays out about him pretending to live this.
Right, right.
But yeah, this movie is so Frankenstein again. It's so cut and chopped, and the tone of it is so weird. The story is stretched so thin of what the motivation is for the villain. And again, and like, it wants to be Lord of the Rings, it feels like, with all those monsters. Feels like
it wants to be 48 Hours.
Oh, it's definitely a buddy cop.
James Wan said that the first movie was supposed to be Romancing the Stone, and the second movie was supposed to be a buddy cop movie. I can't remember.
Who would have been the second character in Romancing the Stone? Amber Heard?
Yeah.
But why would it be? Okay. But they're married. Like, Romancing the Stone is like that.
He's like, you can't have romance with your wife.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I think
They're not married in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
They become married.
No.
They're like bitching the whole time.
In what movie?
In Aquaman. They don't start off
right.
married.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. You mean the first Aquaman.
What other Aquaman?
I thought you meant in the first cut of Aquaman 2.
No,
the first movie was supposed to be Romancing the Stone, and the second one, James Wan says, I mean, I really didn't have Amber Heard in mind as being a part of it because I wanted it to be a buddy cop movie, which was supposed to be him and Patrick Wilson, which I thought were some of the better parts of an awful movie.
The Patrick Wilson parts were better.
Yes. Yeah,
but
Patrick Wilson is so damn good.
Whatever he got paid, even though this movie will probably tank, he should
triple
get a bonus.
It.
Yep.
Triple because
it, yes. that running thing, the first time I saw him, I'm like, why is he running like
the
that?
Eating the bug, anything. Everything he does is the straight man to Jason Momoa's terrible, zany, in your face, annoying, like you want to punch that guy.
Yeah, His whole confused at the surface world stuff was the highlight of the film.
He's great.
And I even like his where he says, like, you don't want to do this, and he was like, no.
Yeah.
And Mo was like, I don't want to do this at all, and he was just like, oh. And so I do like the fact that he realized that Momoa, like Aquaman, wasn't coming for the throne.
Yeah,
he just happened to be there, and you know. So,
God, can we talk? What is that? That Randall Park. What was that
he
whole
was
thing?
Bad.
He and was great. The, but he was the first bad. Movie.
But it's the script is terrible. Right. Like, there's no doubt. Like, there's good actors in a bad movie.
Are they underwater or are they not underwater?
I don't know.
Like,
well,
I think they're supposed to be. No. Like they would, like, in the final scene when they go, set piece, when they go to Necros, which is the Lost Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you remember names of things?
The Seventh Kingdom of Atlantis, which Atlantis is famously underwater. And Randall Park is running around the whole damn time. He doesn't have anything on his head.
Oh, yeah. It's like
there's flames.
Yep.
There's flames.
Well, they're in a volcano in that.
But they're underwater.
That's the first part.
Underwater, he's in a scuba suit. And
not when they go to Necros. He is not wearing a thing. There are flames. Because I remember Crystal went and saw it with me. God love her. And and I was just like, are they underwater? Are they not underwater? And she's like, I have no idea. And then when they leave Necros, you see them come up from water. Yes. And then they stand on an iceberg with the magic fish baby.
Right.
Oh, and there is no cold air coming out of their breath.
None. No.
First of all, the baby, I mean, I know the baby can talk to fish, spoilers, if you're never going to see this movie, but okay, that's fine, he has that power, but like, none of them are cold? Just because you can be underwater, are you immune to cold?
You would be.
It's freezing.
Because you're wet.
Well, I think that the Atlantean people probably are a little bit, because like, that's the whole thing. That's why he's bulletproof, is because his skin, you know, they're so used to the pressures of the deep. So, like, I can accept the fact that the people who are Atlantean who lived in the water.
And if that's the premise that they're used to the pressures of the deep, again, explain to me Randall Park.
That's fair.
Human man running around in Necros.
Speaking of the pressures, when Black Manta is in that, like, submarine and Mira pulls the doors off and the thing, like, goes whoosh, and I was like, what's.
Yeah.
Of all the things you're going to take out, maybe the one that's at a topical event, they know this is the last movie. This is it, right?
Like, this whole movie, I was about to ask, have you ever been working in a place that where everyone know it was about to go out of business? But of course you have, Joe.
Blockbuster, baby.
Blockbuster. and I'm like, this whole movie reeks of people just like, well, this place is going out of business.
Right.
I don't really do the job.
No.
What are they going to do?
They even filmed it 3 years ago, though. But also, it's not even like it was filmed this year. I mean,
start killing people. Like, they put Mira out of commission. They'll kill her.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I don't understand.
They take his dad. They put him out of commission, but they're like, no, he's fine.
They mortally wound him, but they put him in a Bacta tank. I don't know.
Dumbest line of the whole movie.
There's a whole award show that we could.
Aquaman. Okay. That's pretty bad. That is pretty bad. When Manta says, I am going to burn your kingdom to ash. I'm like, underwater.
They're underwater.
And underwater? You know you're talking to Aquaman right now, right? You know this movie is underwater.
Yeah, right.
But you're going to burn it to
it's
ash?
It's a metaphor, Tom. You just don't get it.
But also, the clip that I saw going around was like, you took your brother's kingdom and his woman. Shame on you, Aquaman.
Yeah.
And I was like, am I watching the 66 cartoon? Like, what? Also, were Orm and Mira together?
I think they're a betrothed.
Did I? Oh, okay.
Is she the daughter of Drago?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
It's the red hair. That's how you know.
That's exactly.
Yeah. I thought she was Ariel.
No.
Okay. Well, but this movie wants to be Disney's Pirates of the Caribbean.
It's also the score is so wonky. Like, I kind of liked it when it would do like a synth wave.
That was bad last week. The score was wonka.
Oh, hey. I like that. But like at some points they were doing like synth wave and I was like, okay, like I can get behind that. But then
because of the waves.
That's right.
Talk about
it. Woo. But then they would switch to like the weird, like goofy comedy. Like something that would be in like the Apple Dumpling Gang.
Because
and
I was totally
like, hey, you don't besmirch I'm, the Apple Dumpling.
I would watch never. That before I watch this. Well, that's for sure.
The scene with the ladder.
Uh-huh.
That's comedy gold, man. That's a great Apple Tom trivia.
Yeah.
First movie I ever saw in the theaters.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
Okay. On first run.
I'm that old.
Yeah. It was like first go around, not like a re-release.
I think so.
I just couldn't believe how bad this movie is. And what does this have? A $250 million budget?
Something like that. Yeah.
It starts off from the beginning when he's trying to do his little recap thing. Like all of a sudden, oh, we had a baby.
Right.
And then you don't see Mira for any scene into one little scene where she's holding the baby in the corner of a room for a second. But they're like, we had a baby, and then it looks like he's a single dad. So I'm waiting for him to say, oh, and Mira.
Right.
And Mira, you know,
went back to her home planet. Yeah.
It's exactly what it looked like. And then they show her in the corner like 10 minutes in, and you're like, wait, but no dialogue, just standing there.
Right.
Yeah, I think she has like 2 pages of dialogue.
And then he's like, this is so hard because I go to Atlantis and I have to sit on the console and do all this stuff, and then I come back to the surface dweller. And I'm thinking, like, the king of Atlantis can just go live in some shack somewhere.
He also has a line to your point, to your what you're saying about Amber Heard, is like, he has a moment with his dad where they're again toasting Guinness. He said, you know,
did you see that foam? See all that foam?
I did see that foam. And he said, you know, they toast to like single dads. And I was like, but you're not a single dad.
Yeah.
Like, you have a partner.
And and also, does anyone remember that at the end of the first movie, Nicole Kidman and Boba Fett were reunited? And
yes.
So, but then Nicole Kidman doesn't show up for an hour into this movie. Where's their they're back together. They're romantic.
No, like, she said, I can't do this. Look at you living.
Well, she wouldn't show up because she comes to this place for magic, and this movie had none of it.
Fair enough.
My AMC showing didn't have that this time.
They're supposed to make a new one.
Oh, really? I'm not complaining.
Oh.
But at first I was like, oh, is it over? Is our long national nightmare over?
They're gonna play it.
I'll never get commercials for the place you're at. Commercials for the place you're at.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I'll never understand that.
I'm already
in a
here.
Million years. I get Greg Marcus coming on going, thanks for coming to the theater. Enjoy the movie. That's fine. But commercials.
Right.
What are we doing?
I can understand, like, hey, book your, you know, your work event.
Or let's all go to the lobby or whatever. Okay. Right. Oh, yeah, I got to get that Coke. That does sound good. But 2 minutes of we come to AMC for magic.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, I know. I'm here.
I'm about to leave.
You got me.
Give me this 2 minutes back.
Yeah,
It's already 26 minutes before the movie starts.
It is, as garbage as this movie is, it is interesting to look at the upcoming slate for DC, and I don't think they have anything.
What's the upcoming?
That's my point.
It's blank, right?
It is blank.
It's Superman Legacy.
They've got Superman Legacy in 2025.
Yeah.
And they've got Creature Commandos at the end of 2024.
They need to make us want to see these superheroes again.
I'm saying, like,
we have to get excited, because I tweeted about this. These movies are so far away from feeling event movies. Remember when I remember going to the midnight show of Spider-Man 2.
Sure.
And waiting in line for
which one?
Well, the real Spider-Man 2, the one that's called Spider-Man 2, waiting in line at like 8 or 9 to get a good seat for the midnight show. There were no reserve seats.
Word.
Getting excited, being hyped
about
it.
I'm 53. You don't have to remind me about it.
Even with the phase 1 or phase,
well, sure,
up to phase 3.
But we used to get excited, and I know that we're oversaturated and all that, but we're so far removed from that. I mean, I went to a 4 p.m. showing, which, okay, I get it. Like, you know, a lot of people go in the evening, I'm sure. But still, it's winter break, right?
Yeah.
I mean... And there's 3 other people in the theater. The theater seems dead. Like, Barbie, Oppenheimer, the whole Barbenheimer thing, Taylor Swift movie. Like, we've had so many big movies that have become events.
Event movies, yeah.
And now we have Aquaman 2, the sequel to the only billion-dollar DC movie. And it's like a ghost town. I saw a tumbleweed go across the concession stand.
I think there were 7 people at 6:45.
I mean, you know this franchise is dead when it's just no one shows up for it anymore.
You know, when DC, the comic books, when they relaunched with the new 52, and every issue went like 52, you know, every series went 52 issues. When they were getting to the end, it felt very much the same, where they were just limping, just limping to get those last couple issues out, because they knew the reboot was coming and it was going to be a whole new thing. And this feels just like that, where they're like, can we just wrap this up? Like, and it, I agreed, like, Patrick Wilson is great in this movie. Like, to me, he's the MVP.
I mean, he's always good. We know Patrick Wilson's always good, but
thanks for the $4 million, James Wan.
Yeah, all right,
but
right.
Yeah, I know those guys. Yeah. But it's like, he's the only one doing anything halfway interesting in this entire movie.
For sure.
He's fun. It's fun to watch him and see what he's up to. He's actually doing something. And then the rest of the movie was a snooze. I mean, I have to go back to, so Black Manta, they bring him back. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I have no problem with the character of Black Manta, his motivations. I think
you just don't like that he's black.
Yeah.
It's like the Black Ranger. Like, come on, it's a little too on the nose, guys. But I mean, Yahya Abdul-Mateen II is an incredible actor.
Yeah.
I love him in anything he shows up in. I was happy to see him back, And then I saw what the script was, and it's like, what a waste.
Again,
to bring this guy back, and
he's got about as much dialogue as Amber Heard.
It's close. Like,
he barely talks.
But he was in there. I mean, at first when they focus on him and you're trying to figure out, well, okay, what's he up to? He's back doing what? And it's like, wow, that guy can act. He's here doing something. And then then they put the helmet on him the rest of the time, and he's just. That's voice like, acting.
I wonder
him.
How much.
No,
of that
he's
is,
doing martial arts and stuff.
Well, I wonder how much of that is reshoots. Like,
yeah.
Is like, well, oh, he's not available. Just throw a helmet on a guy and he can read it.
There was a moment where I was like, don't turn this guy into like the
family,
other, the other hero, like
family.
Yeah, right. I was like, come on, God dang.
Well, I'll tell you what. Thinking of that Fast X Part One or whatever that thing's called, I yearned for that Jason Momoa performance. Even though I wasn't crazy about it, when I saw this, I'm just like, I mean. Overall, I like Jason Momoa.
I do too.
And I think he can be very good and he can have fun with things and be goofy.
I also think this was miscast from the jump. The Aquaman that I've always known has been. It's hard to determine what his character is.
This is New 52.
This
badass
isn't, though.
Aquaman.
This
though.
Isn't. The Aquaman, even in the Geoff Johns run of the
I
New
52. This was more. Wasn't this like. Was it Peter David that wrote?
Peter David wrote
the
a one lot
armed
of it.
Aquaman.
Yes.
Like, this
which
is kind
I was.
Of that.
I got to tell you, there's a moment in this movie I was like, all right, cut his arm off. Like, they make a reference to the Necron. Bad guy having not having an arm.
Oh, Sauron?
Jesus.
I mean, seriously, this movie that we, in the beginning, when they go down to the hidden temple or whatever this place is called, Necronomicon? What is it called?
Necros?
That's where they find the trident, right? Because the people are frozen.
The trident of exposition?
Yes. So
where Patrick Wilson catches it, and then we get a 20-minute short film about the backstory of Necros.
Sauron, like, it's the opening of Lord of the Rings. So they go down to Necros, and you see all the pirates from the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie that have all been cast away and imprisoned and whatever. And so Black Manta takes the trident and puts it together, and he gets his own little exposition thing. And then it's like a flashback to Lord of the Rings, and you see how Sauron becomes, and is trying to rule everyone. And they're in these battles, and he gets imprisoned. And apparently Aquaman's dad cast a magic spell using his blood.
Aquaman's dad. Aquaman's dad is the guy on the lighthouse.
Oh yeah, the Orm's dad.
Yeah,
the Atlan. Atlan. Yes. Sorry, not why? Because they're brothers. I always think of him being both.
Sure,
their dads.
Sure, sure.
But yes, yeah, so Atlan sealing it with blood magic and all this and so we see that, and you're just like, these writers clearly went and they're like, what movies do we like that are cool? Okay, Pirates of the Caribbean, Lord of the Rings. There's so much stuff stolen, and it feels like a carbon copy of a carbon copy. I don't know. I just can't believe how uninteresting this story was.
It's complete. It's everything about this is like, it is so boring.
And I wanted to have fun. I went into this movie not trying to hate it. I seriously went, please just have this be a fun action movie. I just want to watch it's the last one. Nothing matters.
I think if anything, this movie being bad, and I'm sure the box office will follow, because I don't feel like anybody knows this is coming out.
It made $4 million Thursday.
That's crazy.
On a superhero movie.
Like, yeah.
The sequel to the biggest one.
And I think I read the last one in its Thursday previews made like $9.5 million.
Yeah.
So okay. Half what the first one.
Man, oh man.
And I think it's kind of a gift to James Gunn.
Oh, for
because
sure.
It's like if this movie had been great and people were gushing over it, now
they
took
it away.
Now they're back to like, well, what do we do?
Yeah.
Like, and I just think that like, just scrap it. There were good moments through it, but like, I don't think it's worth trying to tie yourself to this turd.
Well, no.
In order to keep the good moments, and I mean the DCEU as a turd. Like, even though this movie is also a turd, but it's a collection of turds.
It is,
and there are a few that were really good, which disproves the old wives' tale that you can't polish a turd. Shazam, polished turd. Wonder Woman, polished turd. Those were good movies.
They were.
Those were I really enjoyed. I own three movies from the DCEU, and they are Shazam, Aquaman, Wonder Woman.
How do you not own the Suicide Squad?
I don't think it's been on sale.
Oh, okay. Because
so that's good.
I'm not paying $20.
That's
$15
that's
for
fair.
It.
That's a good movie.
When it's $5, I'll cave. But until it's $5, hard pass.
That right. was a fun movie, man. To,
it was. It was.
To watch, to, coming back, coming off of
But I will Suicide also Club. Say, it felt like it was completely untethered from everything else that went on
sure.
in that universe.
Yes.
For better or for worse,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Like, the baggage I mean, was gone.
I think it made it was a better movie because of it, but it was also kind of like, but this doesn't feel like it can live the in that same world only, in any way.
Well, the only connecting tissue is Amanda Waller.
Yeah.
And that's...
Well, Harley Quinn.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's
but,
right.
But
that's
a completely
right.
different Harley Quinn.
Very, very different Harley yeah, Quinn.
A better one. I mean, that's the Harley Quinn we want to see.
Well, and then I guess the Justice League shows up in Peacemaker. But that's literally just...
The Justice League shows up in Peacemaker?
At the very end. It's oh, but it's like but it's Batman's in silhouette, Wonder Woman's in silhouette.
Oh, they did Superman, that thing.
But
okay.
it is Jason Momoa but, and Ezra Miller as Aquaman and the Flash.
Right, because they had a big movie to promote.
Yeah.
So because the other thing was that I'm sure this movie had the Flash in it. I'm sure there were little cameos.
Well, we said earlier,
it
that,
is
right.
It was nice. I will say it was nice to have one of these where
nobody showed up.
You didn't have to deal with
or
all
the cameos. Or Gal Gadot didn't show
yeah.
up.
Oh, yeah, where was she?
I was like, is it even a DCEU movie if Wonder Woman doesn't show up for a 35-second cameo
right,
that was filmed
right.
on a different continent?
But that's what I'm saying is, like, I think a year break, and we're going to get right, we're going to get news, because I think Superman starts filming in March is the rumor. So we're going to get the suit. We're going to get, you know, shots of him in this. We're gonna see stuff, but we're not gonna
and
have
we're also
any...
gonna hear how the Snyder fans aren't excited about it.
Ugh. Fine, go watch Rebel Moon.
Yeah,
I know
it's ready for you. The fact that
it's
they
not
are...
ready for you, it's half a movie and not the director's cut,
which is hilarious,
right?
Like
it's not
such,
ready.
It's...
Go watch this movie that we have a better cut of.
It's so funny that Netflix is like, how can we garner good press about this? I know. We'll do the thing that the Snyder fans did, and we'll just release this.
Not
and
even
then...
good press. It's like, how can we astroturf a
yeah.
viral
yeah.
marketing campaign?
But how weird is it? Every director's cut that we know of came out after a movie flopped. You don't
yeah.
get a director's cut because the movie was great. You get
right.
a cut because they go, oh, but wait,
we got something.
The director has a real vision here. This movie, you know, Netflix gives Zack Snyder the bag and says, they won't hire you. They won't let you make your Star Wars movie. Come on over.
Right.
Do what you want. Hey, let's not release this guy's vision. Let's release
yeah.
our cut, and then we'll have a Snyder cut of it. Like, what on earth?
Like, yeah, it is.
What is the impetus for this?
It's definitely a choice.
There's no theatrical run where it's like, oh, we can't show a four-hour movie. Like,
no, right.
It's Netflix. Put both on there. I mean, obviously, the only reason is to hang that over their head. Hey, wait.
Snyder Cut's
watch
coming.
It again. It's, yeah.
No, Snyder Cut's coming.
It's so stupid. Like, I have no interest. I probably won't watch it at least until the thing's finished. Or there's, like, I don't want to watch
it's,
half
I mean,
a
it's
movie.
Whatever. It's a movie. Like, it's about as derivative of Star Wars as you're going to get. And I know that it was supposed to be
yeah,
his Star
it's
Wars
a Star
movie.
Wars movie. Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like,
can you see why they didn't greenlight it?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Yes, I can. I will say, the standout of that movie is the robot. Like, the droid that is voiced by Hannibal Lecter.
Anthony Hopkins.
Anthony Hopkins.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
He has an Anthony Hopkins droid in the
uh-huh.
movie? Oh,
and the God. Droid looks great. Like, it visually, the CG is really good on
yeah.
the droid.
That Wait, now, nice. I don't know that anyone... Even snobby film critics have ever complained about how a Zack Snyder movie
That's true.
Looks.
Right.
That's true. That's true. I watched it on an iPad, so that's about how much I cared about that movie. I was like, I guess I should.
Now, is this Anthony Hopkins from Transformers The Last Knight?
No.
Remember how wackadoo that?
No.
That was...
He's doing he's very much Anthony Hopkins. Like, okay. He's not doing much of a change. You know, nothing really changed.
I'll never tell you, if there's one thing I can remember, and it's not much from that movie, it is whatever he was doing in that movie was just insane.
Yeah.
I
don't think I've seen that one.
You never saw The Last Knight?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, Anthony Hopkins is doing the most bizarre thing in that movie. He's just like, he's like an eccentric old loony, I don't know, person that's holed up in a Scottish castle or something. And he's nuts. He's just crazy, like the stuff he's doing. It's like he's, I don't know, he's got like a Jim Carrey and Ace Ventura sensibility about him. Like, he's just wacky. It's
almost like when he was in The Wolfman. The Wolfman, he's also doing like some
weird stuff.
His
social media, if you follow him, I mean, he's fun. Like, he's weird, man. Anthony Hopkins.
He's a strange dude.
Great actor.
Just to burn through this real quick, like, we pick up where we left off.
Oh, no, we already were at the... He found the trident.
Oh, that's right. He found the black trident, which made him, like, somewhat possessed, which I almost feel bad for that, for the actor, because this is kind of the same thing he did in Candyman. Like, it's kind of the same.
I kept thinking how good Candyman was.
And Candyman's really good, but it's kind of the same premise.
But this is the ring. He's possessed by the ring. This is straight up Lord of the Rings.
Right. And yes.
Yeah.
So he's attempting...
Sauron looks like a creepy, like he's got the thing, his head looks like the helmet.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
It's all demonic. He's sitting on a throne. He's possessed. Like it's...
So he's basically... The Black Manta is stealing unobtainium. I don't know what else to call it. Like it's... like the
Orkel cum?
Orkum.
Yeah. But the whole time, I'm like, how did they say that with a straight face?
Yeah.
And how many times did they say it? It must have been a game to where, like,
yeah.
Can you say this without breaking?
Can you say, what was the
They called
Super
it
Troopers.
Oracle cum.
Yeah. It was definitely a choice to say that a lot. A lot. They're like, the Oracle cum.
They just kept saying it. They just kept saying, oh, Orca cum. Orca cum. It was weird.
Basically, it's this ancient power source that was poisoning the land and the water. Yes. I do also find it hilarious that they killed off, what's it, the Green Goblin.
Which one?
There's only one Green Goblin.
Oh, Willem Dafoe.
They kill off Willem Dafoe with a line of dialogue. They're like, it got your mentor. That's bad. And I was like, well, that takes.
Oh, is that what happened? I missed that. Yeah, I knew he wasn't in the movie.
He says that.
Guess that's a little Jimmy Olsen nod to the Zack Snyder
fans. Yeah, right, right.
Still
yeah,
sticking around.
There's just a line where he's just like, the plague down here got your mentor. And
oh, wow.
Aquaman's like, oh, yeah, that's right.
I couldn't remember if he died in the first one.
No.
I thought he
No, he's very much alive
wow.
in the first one.
That's so weird. Right. Okay.
So
and he was a great part of the first one. I liked him as
like the training montages and stuff. Yeah. Manta is burning the orcs cum to heat up the
he's basically
the
deliberately
causing
global, climate change.
Which I like, they say that a lot, and I was like, man, if you're trying to make like a climate change
they are.
Thing, it's like you are.
You know, Jason Momoa is all about that.
This movie's gonna come out, it's gonna make money, and then all the incels get to go woke, go broke.
Right, right, right. That's so bad. So yeah, so he's trying to heat up the speed up global warming so that he can melt the polar ice caps so that and the bad guy
free
can
his
be
friends
released.
Or something?
Well, that's the Atlan used freeze powers, I guess.
Well, no, he releases them with their blood. Those are two separate things.
Yeah, but he
had to melt the ice
to
get
to
him,
get there, right?
Doesn't he?
Oh, I'm sure they could build any kind of device. I don't think the ice would have to be melted. I mean, in the beginning of the movie, there's some crazy contraption or octopus thing that's like breaking ice and stuff that attacks Manta.
Well, why
and
are
friends.
They? Why are they speeding up global warming?
I think they just want to kill the humans or something. I think they just want to destroy the world. That's what I mean. The Black Manta, even being possessed, like his motivation is so slight. I don't know what they're trying to do.
Yeah, I guess.
I think they just wanted to destroy the world, but all he has to do is go down there and get his blood. Any descendant of Atlan,
right?
Has
so that
the blood.
Is Arthur, Aquaman, Orm.
Mira, I guess, right?
No.
Or no.
Or the
no.
Baby.
Oh, no, she's
no. She shouldn't be if he's married and breeding
well,
with her.
I don't know how Atlantis works.
Atlantis,
but,
I mean, are they?
And
the royal
of course,
bloodline.
Magic Fish Baby.
Magic Fish Baby.
Which
yeah, Arthur Jr.
To my wife for coining the term.
That's
Magic
pretty good.
Fish Baby.
But we talked about it briefly. In the Peter David stuff, Aquaman does have a son, and he has to make it. He's in the fight with someone, I don't remember who it is, but he has to make a choice. His arm is basically pinned. And there's a scene in this where I was like, they pin him with rocks. And I was like, oh, let's do it. Like, why not? What have we got to lose? So in the comics, he has to make a choice. There's two different versions of it. One, he has to cut his own arm off to save his son. There's another where, like, piranhas eat his hand. Basically, when they rebooted everything, they were like, hey, that was a cool thing that we did. We have to find another way to do that.
Yeah.
So he has, you know, for a while, it was just like it was a hook with like gauze wrapped around it. And that's what that was for a while. But there was a scene again in this where Aquaman is crushed by rock. And I was like, cut it off. Like, let's do something. I was
right.
Like, oh, we're just going to bring in Amber Heard and she's going to lift it off
but,
of him.
So they sideline Mira. They do the thing where, you know, she's injured. So she can't be in the movie type of thing.
Yeah.
And in a fight where they're trying to steal the last vial of orc cum.
Yes.
There's a big escape sequence. And, Amber Heard and Nicole Kidman an hour into it shows up and is actually in some cool CG scenes. I mean, she's not doing anything, but
right.
her character's doing some ass kicking and stuff. And I'm like, okay, yeah. I mean, the CG Nicole Kidman stuff looks so bad. Like the way they put her face on the CG characters or whatever. But they're chasing him, and during the fight, Manta takes his laser eyes and shoots Mira to like burns her all up.
And, and it's like you think that I was like, I mean, the way they film that, it's like,
oh, she's dead.
All right,
and why not?
That makes sense. Why not?
Yeah. Why not? It's the last,
and you know, right, James. And here's the thing, is I feel bad for James Wan because he has been saddled more than once with a franchise that should have died. No pun intended. A franchise that should have gone through a windshield.
Well, and this
if
time
you
it
will.
Did. Yeah,
there was your Paul Walker joke.
Well, it's been a while.
It has been a while, but he dies what 3/4 through filming that movie.
Paul,
yeah, right, or halfway through.
I think, yeah, they almost finished it.
Okay.
But they had to retro whatever, him riding off into the sunset.
And he had, James Wan has to come in and fix that, right? I mean, he's the director of the movie in general, but he has to make that, he has to make the rest of that movie work. And he does. He gets Aquaman, and it's just like, okay, this isn't, this is a big, dumb, fun summer action movie. Yeah. And everybody's on board. Everybody's having a good time. I think of that scene in, that opening scene when, is it Nicole Kidman fights the Atlantean guards in the house? Does that sound right? That's a great scene.
I don't know about opening scene. Is it opening?
I mean, it's the first time we see her.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't think it's opening scene.
But like
yeah.
that whole scene is fantastic.
Yeah, it's fun. Does this movie have any good action sequences?
So I think I thought about the scene when Aquaman and Orm are fighting together like at the volcano.
Yeah.
I thought that was a solid action set piece.
The only action scene I can actually remember that had any discernible action, not a bunch of blurry, like, Transformers-esque action of them, like, chasing each other through the ocean. But there was Manta doing martial arts, which clearly was not But you know what I mean? Like, I was like, oh, here's fight choreography. But the whole movie, there's hardly anything to look at.
I think you can't really say it left on the cutting room floor anymore, but maybe clipped and deleted. I don't know. You know, like, it's... And
yeah, but why would they get rid of that stuff? I feel like they just didn't. I don't know.
Again, I think it's the, I think it's all of the edit, not editors. I don't want to, you know, but it's them limping to the finish line. They know that this is it. They know that none of these actors are coming back. I think we see Momoa as Lobo. I think it'd be too stupid.
Well, they included his test footage in it.
In what?
In the beginning of this movie. Them riding around on the motorcycle? How does this guy look riding on a motorcycle? Right, yeah. Why was that in the movie? Give me one reason why they cut to without any dialogue when he's just hanging out with his dad, and then they cut to him doing circles on a motorcycle, and then cut away from it.
I don't know.
Because I think they filmed him like, would this guy look cool on a motorcycle?
Yeah.
Let's put that in the movie.
But I mean, like, even if you look at Lobo, like, Momoa looks just like him. Just
he does.
Put some makeup on him, and
it's
the same.
But here's the thing. It like, yes... Momoa is famous. Yes, he looks like Lobo.
Yeah.
Does anybody really give a shit about Lobo?
No.
No, but did they care about the Guardians, and did they care about the Suicide Squad?
But I mean, like, but
Peacemaker.
To go out of your way to like shoehorn Lobo into this world just because Jason Momoa happens to look like him,
right,
seems like a dumb idea.
But apparently he wanted to play Lobo for a long time, like before he got Aquaman. He likes the character.
You know who would make a great, honestly, is Patrick Wilson.
I was gonna guess you were gonna say that.
Even in this movie, like, he's, I'm like, okay, like, this and... is not even the long hair, like, he's, when he cuts his hair short, and I was like, he looks like Aquaman. Like, this guy looks like Aquaman.
Like traditional Aquaman.
Yes.
Oh, Aquaman. I thought you said Lobo.
No, Patrick Wilson should have been cast as Arthur Curry.
Oh, yeah. Well, he looks like the traditional Aquaman. Yeah.
Momoa should have been Lobo from the Jump Street.
Momoa should have been Mera.
That would have been an interesting thing. That would have been... It's
Mera should have been Lobo.
it's so crazy to watch this... It's 10 years. Like, this franchise has been with us since the inception of Real Spoilers. And
it will outlive DCEU. We make even less money than them, and we're still going.
No joke.
And by even less, we mean infinitely less.
Infinitely less, Can you make negative less?
You can, Joe. Yes, you can. The Atlanteans get their power from water, correct?
The Atlanteans, it's not really a power.
But they don't do well out of water. And
they
Patrick
shouldn't.
Wilson is trapped in a desert prison, right?
Yes, because so they're giving him just enough water to survive.
Okay. And so Aquaman goes with a weird octopus sidekick that does really
a cephalopod.
Really does nothing in the movie. It's not even that humorous. Like, he squeezes between a couple rocks because he has to get somewhere, I guess. They give him his little Deus Ex octopus.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, he's at the jail. We don't know how he got through the desert with his limited supply of water or whatever. He just shows up at the jail, gets in there. This prison is supposed to be this inescapable, like, they've trapped him into this prison because mm-hmm. these guys are awesome. And Aquaman kind of just, like, goofs his way through it, right? Like,
well,
he's just
he does have the camouflage suit. The camouflage suit, mind you, that doesn't cover his face, but camouflages his face.
Atlantean technology.
Nope. That's not how that works at all. I mean, I guess you can say it works however you want it to work.
Yeah, but this is comic book science.
Yeah,
so
if he
has a camouflage suit, you know, you turn invisible.
It's the invisible jet.
That'd be weird if his head was just
that's what I'm
floating
saying.
Around.
That's why it was weird. I mean, it wouldn't be any weirder than anything else we've seen.
But there's many problems I had this with the movie. I never said the camouflage suit doesn't take his head
away. First thing I thought, I was like, well, doesn't he go up over his head?
But it just seems so ridiculous that he goes through the desert. You know, we see how bad they do without water. Somehow Aquaman gets there. It doesn't seem to be a big problem.
Well, it's not a big problem. Oh, to get into the prison.
Yeah, to get through the desert, he just shows up there. He's on land. He can't swim there. And, like, right. I don't know. But he gets there. He gets the guy out. No problem. Even though this is this horrible prison. Takes the guys out, like, just tripping and falling over himself.
It's
a joke. Like, okay, and this is the other thing I don't get. I hate this with superhero movies in general, but I think this one's really bad. How powerful is Aquaman? Sometimes he punches people and he's not powerful.
Yeah.
Sometimes he punches you through a brick wall across the room.
He's not. Let's see if I remember this. He is bulletproof, but that's only because of the pressures of the ocean, right?
That's okay.
part of the deal. He is strong, but not as strong as Superman.
But he stops a runaway underwater sea train type thing, right? Like, he's strong. He can put a trident in the ground, and he can stop this thing. Like,
right.
He's super strong. Someone with that strength, I think, should be able to punch a desert guard in the face, and their head flies across the desert.
He's got to pull his punch.
But he just punches them, and it's like not a big deal, and they punch him and he's hurt, but then other times he can do amazing things and take people out and knock them out without.
I think that's always the issue with Superman, right? When you see him on screen, actually more or less in like video games,
right?
Like, it's really hard to,
he's so powerful,
right?
How
right.
do you show
just
him
have
getting hurt
exactly
or not just flicking someone and their head flies off?
Well, it's which is one of the things that I've always liked about the animated series is they depower him. So, like, he is the strongest being on Earth, but he can be hurt, right? And he can, you know, when he's fighting, like, Doomsday or Darkseid, like, he will take damage, but he can also, you know, do bad, you know. If he wanted to not pull his punch, he would put a hole through somebody's face, you know?
I just, in this movie, I could not get a gauge on how strong Aquaman was, because sometimes he gets his ass kicked, sometimes when it's convenient for the story, he's able to take out who he needs to take out, or the bad guys. Like, I would think Aquaman, given the strength they've shown, could come into this prison and just tear him up. He's Aquaman.
Well, he can't, remember? Like, he's going to break out his brother, mm-hmm. who has turned himself over as, like, penance for his crimes against Atlanteans, I guess.
Atlantity.
So he can't, like, Aquaman can't be seen breaking his brother out of prison, because it would cause, you know,
because he would lose this job he doesn't want.
Correct.
But
which he keeps fighting for.
But there's no way, right? Because these guys all saw who it is, and it's Aquaman. Like, he does this, and everyone's like, how'd he get out?
Well, that's the thing. He wears the camouflage is on sometimes,
and then he turns it off and kicks their asses, and apparently he's not killing anyone.
Well, they said it only lasts for like a minute.
Oh, is that what they said?
Yeah.
Okay.
But he does show up, and I didn't see him kill every single person. I'm just saying, it to me, I don't understand. That's why the story doesn't make sense. Like,
sure,
we have to break him out and no one can know about this. But then he shows up and clearly is seen. And what about all the people that chased him off?
Right.
But again, he's kicking their ass and he's stumbling over himself. And then, like, an army of 15 of them are riding towards him. And he's like,
we gotta go.
And it's so funny. And it's like, well, those guys know it's Aquaman.
Right.
So the treaty's broken.
I did like the scene. So it is funny that we've back-to-back DC movies where we have one of our heroes has been, like, depowered and is very, very skinny and gaunt. Mm-hmm. And then they get exposed to the thing that gives them their powers, and they their
back. That was good CG.
I thought that CG on the body. I was like, okay, right on. But I also like the scene where he's laying in the water. The waves crash over him, and then he's gone.
Yeah.
And then he pops out of the water, and I was like, oh, that was
pretty
dope. You just
like Sam Patrick Wilson all ripped.
Hey, man, good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him.
I know my wife was like, was that CGI?
Which one is the CGI? At first, when he was skinny, I'm like, man, he got really skinny for this role.
I'm like, there's no way he committed to this role.
But he's going to be in a suit for muscles or stuff. I didn't know if it was like makeup and stuff.
I mean,
but then, clearly he worked out because he made sure to put in his contract, I'm working out for this.
You know who I don't think worked out?
Jason Momoa.
Because I pointed that out to my wife. I'm like, you will notice.
Not once.
You saw Patrick Wilson without a shirt on, but you did not see Jason Momoa without a shirt.
And
when they cut to like the flashbacks from the first movie, like he looks like he's put on like 40 pounds not of muscle.
Well, he's a big guy, and I mean, obviously, he's still in tremendous shape human being.
Yes.
But you can tell like he's gained weight.
That scene when he walks out of the water for the first in the first Aquaman, and he is like shredded.
Yeah.
And then in this one, you're like,
yeah.
Oh, you didn't have. Yeah. Was there no budget?
But again, to
from shredded cheese to Parmesan
to grilled cheese,
he's still Jason Momoa, and we would all be happy to look like Jason Momoa
absolutely.
On a bad day,
without question.
But you're right; he doesn't. He's not in that shape. That takes a tremendous amount of work. That's why Affleck was like, "Man, I can't keep doing this stuff,"
which is understandable. Yeah. Cavill's like, "I got it. What do you want me to put on 60 more pounds of muscle? Done,
done, and done. Yeah.
No problem." But that's
British. He probably said done and dusted.
Yeah, he said no problem, mate. I can do it.
Is he a chimney sweep?
Yeah, isn't that how they all sound over there? Sorry for our British listeners. They beat the bad guy, the Orm. You think that again? Patrick Wilson has some very good moments where you think that he's going to turn on Dolph Lundgren. Like he has like a little, Dolph Lundgren's like, screw you, buddy. Like,
you know, that's another thing. All the places where they were stealing the orc cum from. They were also not underwater.
Nope.
Really? Yeah.
Well,
they were supposed to be underwater.
They're supposed to be underwater, but when you actually see the actors there, they're not underwater.
No, they just CGI their hair to make it look like
I mean, they're not. Like, you see Randall Park there without anything on.
Oh, that's
on.
True. But you're right.
Like, I get that they're not really filming these scenes underwater. I get it. They CGI the hair. I totally get it.
Right.
But you literally see Randall Park there without any scuba equipment on.
You know, so, Randall Park's like, can I go back to Marvel?
Oh, I know.
Come on.
I will tell you what. If you cut every Randall Park scene out of this movie, it would have zero impact.
Nope. None whatsoever.
I know he does a little MacGuffin-y, like...
He gives... Instead of giving man to the baby, he gives him a bomb.
Yeah, like...
Also, putting the baby in the bag was kind of...
I was really, for a second, because I'm like, look, this franchise is done. I was really hoping that... Like, how great would it have been if...
They killed a baby?
If they had eaten the baby. That one's for Brad.
Look at that. Yeah, well done, well done.
If Randall Park had killed Manta.
Like, that would have been crazy.
Like, if he tricked him with, here's the baby, it's a bomb, there, I took care of it.
Done.
Yeah. Like, that would have been amazing. Like,
so
no,
kudos,
no final big battle with the
yeah,
with
right,
the
right.
boss. Like, just like...
Yeah, just turn it...
Random henchman. Here you go.
Yeah, and then turn the bad guy into Patrick Wilson being possessed, and Aquaman has to beat him. Right?
Yeah, I would not live like that. It's just when they.
I'm saying like they didn't need Manta. Like just have them fight and then overcome it.
The end of this movie is the end of Guardians 1, where all of the Guardians are holding the purple stone, whatever that one was, the Power Stone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's this big CG swirling thing. It's the same thing in this, where Momoa and Patrick Wilson are holding the dark saber, whatever the fuck it is, and they're both having like
the trident of exposition.
Thank you. Yeah, but it's like this big green and black swirly storm underwater, which again makes no sense. And they break it and they win. It's the same thing as Guardians of the Galaxy.
But you forgot about the whole Pirates of the Aquarium fight. I mean, between the forces of the whole thing is like in, filmed in the dark on the ship. When
also,
all...
John Rhys Davies is in this movie. He's the voice of the crab.
Okay, I have. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah,
one of my favorite parts of the movie. Whatever that guy is doing, that's my hero. I thought he was great.
That's John Rhys Davies.
He's hilarious.
Do you know Martin Short was not Jabba?
Yes, because I could tell the voice. Okay. As soon as he talked, I was like, oh, it's
Jiminy Glick.
Yeah, right.
That's funny. But yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that too, because when he came on screen, I'm like, I didn't know Martin Short was in this movie. That's funny.
Yes.
The lobster guy, I thought he was funny. That was the only one of the only funny parts I thought that was genuinely funny.
The eye rolling.
Him and his arm.
I did like when Randall Park was like, comes in with the gun and has him dead to rights. And then as soon as the door closes, he's like, no, dude, I'm totally on your side.
I just had to make sure that I could get in. You didn't kill me. You didn't kill me before I closed the door. I could talk.
I do like those when they kind of subvert expectations of the tropes. And it's like, well, you know, there would be a person that would be kind of like Weasley or going, like, I don't want to work for this guy.
Yeah, he's also, when he sees him talking to himself in the mirror, he's like, nah, I've made a mistake.
Well, also, but then Manta does that thing in the movies where it's like, kill the guy. You have no trouble killing people.
Yeah.
The guy, right. Like,
you don't need him.
Every other person that gets in your way or tries to foil your plan or finds the secret of your being possessed or whatever, it's like, you kill them. But then he's like, I better not catch you again. Every time I show this knife, it draws blood. You better hope I don't draw it again. Like, no, you just drew it. Kill him.
But
like,
what are you doing? And you already like shoved it into his under his chin. Like, there's blood on the knife when he's
Which I think was the only out, which is like, well, it drew blood, so technically we're good.
I'm still a tough guy.
But it's like, dude, kill him. You are an evil bad guy killing people freely.
He kept Randall Park around because he needed his help for something. I don't know what
it was.
Did
he really?
But he did. He needed him for something. And then they got the...
They got it.
And then it was just like, well, I don't need him anymore.
He needed his help finding the Orkelcom.
And he got it.
And they did. And then he got this thing that gave him these powers and all that. Like, I don't think he really needed Randall Park, you know?
Yeah, this is a mess. I am like, DC was my stuff. Like, DC was always the brand that I kind of...
Same as from reading comic books.
Yes.
I always thought the DC books were better. The Marvel books looked better.
Yep.
But the DC books were written better.
Yeah.
And the DC movies were better for a long time before the MCU.
Before the MCU.
You know, I was like, well...
Basically, the Christopher Nolan Batman movies.
And the Christopher Reeve Superman
and 1. The Michael Keaton Batman movie, obviously.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, DC had the movies. Marvel couldn't crack it. And then the MCU happened. And it's like, DC had the better comics. They had the better movies. And then MCU happens. And then this thing kicks off to catch up.
Right.
And it just was, from the start, never had a chance.
I mean, it did have a chance.
They didn't...
But not
with their strategy. They never gave it time to simmer, to build what...
Correct. We got to get to the Justice League now.
And it's been a 10-year race to the bottom for them.
And they did.
They finally made it.
They made it. Congratulations.
Well done.
I can't believe how boring this movie was. Like, again, I saw a 4 o'clock show, and I was struggling to stay awake through it. I mean, the whole Randall Park thing, again, I think was useless. I cannot believe how much screen time they gave to him and Manta. Like, that is just all... It just dragged on these slow moments where I don't even think there was a score. They were just like, and you're supposed to feel like sympathetic for Randall Park or something. Like, they followed him around. Like, you were supposed to really be like, I hope this guy makes it.
He's in one. He's in part one.
But
the fact that they expanded his role to sidekick for whatever reason.
And like, I could not have cared less. I like him as a person.
He's been in lots of things where I thought he was a highlight, but
he was good in
WandaVision.
Yeah.
Like, he was good in Ant-Man.
Yeah, he's good. He was good in The Office.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
I mean, he's good, right? We all like, he was good. Well, he had his own show, right?
Oh, I don't know.
Was he on the Fresh Off the Boat one?
Yeah. So like,
he was also in Blockbuster.
I watched the first episode of that. Good Lord. Did you try to watch that Netflix Blockbuster show?
No.
Oh, that's a bad show.
No.
That's a bad
show. Why would I want to bring up bad memories?
Well, maybe it's good memories.
Maybe. Yeah. I guess that's true.
Do you wish you were still working at a Blockbuster?
There are times. Life was simpler then.
But man,
payday. That's true.
Talk about a show that thinks it's trying to be funny.
That's gross.
Oh, it's bad. But yeah, this is just
I'm glad it's over. Worthless. I'm glad that we're going to get a year break from anything. Like, again, we're going to get news. I guarantee you we're probably going to get a Batman casting.
What's with the baby having powers? I get it. That's fine. If you want to. You're going to show us Chekhov's baby powers, have the baby do something to save the day with the powers.
Well, he's who brings in the whales that attacks the...
No, I think Aquaman does that.
No, I thought the baby did that. The baby does something.
Did the baby do... Yeah,
I thought the baby brought in the whales.
No, they were looking for the Orkelcom.
And then the whales used sonar, which then made the ship explode.
It used the sonic powers of a whale, which I... from yeah. what I've been told isn't how that works.
Yeah.
And then
one of the other bad moments from a bad actress, when the whales do the sonic power and she's just like, are you kidding me? I'm like, you're fighting Aquaman.
Yeah, and this like, is your...
You're fighting Aquaman. Whales are in play. Right. Like, you're fighting Aquaman, right? Like, if all of a sudden he, like, shot lasers out of his eyes, I'd be like, where did that...
Like, this is... Again, there's a big break. I guarantee you we're going to get casting of Batman or the Green Lantern. Something. There's going to be news, but we're not going to have any product on screen. Right.
I would like to hear nothing about anything else until Superman comes out.
It's not going to happen.
Wouldn't it be nice to just have that come out and it just be like, let's see how that does and not worry about it?
Yeah. Just get it right. And that's the thing.
The machine is exhausting, isn't it? I appreciate
that it's 2025, so he's got time to get it right.
Yeah.
Right? You can take a breath. Exactly. Take a breath. Get your script right. Get everything where it needs to be, and then we'll go.
Okay. And then was it the post-credit scene, whatever, or the ending scene, you have to say that, you know, throughout the movie, Arthur's like, this is just too hard on the throne, and, like, we have to let the land know that we exist, or else we can't help each other with the environment and all that. And so the last scene of the movie is, like, him giving a speech at the UN or whatever.
What the hell?
And it's so cheesy. Okay, he's standing up there with Lobster Man and all these creatures, yeah. And then he's like, Atlantis exists, and all the U.S. general people are like...
Yeah,
yay! I think it's hilarious. We totally accept this. This is normal.
10 years ago, we've got Superman in handcuffs, and he's just like, hey, man, we don't trust you.
Hey, we have Lobster Guy here, and they're just like,
10 years later, they're like, you're all right, sea boy.
But okay. Wasn't that weird when he introduces Atlantis, and then all the people are just like, yeah, oh, yeah, you know, the U.S. military and stuff, they're never against weird, unknown things.
And then he's just like, and then he does the I am Iron Man.
Well, his scene is fine. Like, it's cheesy and dumb that this is happening, but whatever.
He's like, coming out of the closet as Aquaman, and I'm like,
wearing the suit.
Was the existence of Aquaman a secret at this point? There's been like 2 Justice League movies. Like, he's popped up in all these other things. Like, the world knows about Aquaman now,
right?
Not a secret.
God, I totally missed. I didn't realize that's what he was trying to do. That was supposed to be an identity. Because I thought his identity was revealed too.
Because it ends with him like,
I'm Aquaman.
Screaming, I am Aquaman.
But I didn't know that was a reveal. I thought that was a cheesy, like, I thought it was a
riff on Iron Man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get it because I can't really follow what the, you know, which movie is, because there's the Justice League Snyder cut.
Oh, sure,
and
sure,
there's
sure.
more stuff there. And, like, I can't remember if it was revealed because in Justice League originally, Batman doesn't know, right? Like, the Aquaman comes up from the seas or whatever.
Yeah.
And Batman's trying to find him. So clearly no one knew at Justice League. But since then, I figured, I mean, he's been at the end of a couple of these movies, right? Like, I don't know.
I'm happy that this is over.
Oh, please. Yes.
It's been a long road with just misstep after misstep after misstep.
I mean, no one cared this was coming out. No, do you know one person? I mean, outside of our little bubble and people that have to review movies, have you talked to one person that was like, oh, Aquaman comes out this week?
I don't talk to people.
Yeah, true. But most people were like, Aquaman comes out this week?
I mean, I know people in our nerd world that were like, Aquaman comes out this week?
It got dumped. I mean, at the end of the year, I mean, you would think that this would be like a Christmas time movie.
But this isn't a dumping ground for me.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. So it's like they gave it the slot as if it's a big deal, but then they don't really appear to have done anything to prop it up.
Right.
I think it's because by the time all this was set and then The Flash came out, and I got to say The Flash is 100 times better than this movie. People like to crap on The Flash. I mean,
I don't know, man.
This movie's
Flash
terrible.
Has problems, I enjoyed
Flash
it.
Flash is an entertaining movie.
I had fun watching
there are
it.
More. There are better scenes. Yes.
If it went on sale for $5, I'd buy it.
Okay.
Aside with the actors, talking on a movie standpoint, that movie's fun and entertaining. Like,
if for nothing else, for the Michael Keaton stuff.
Yeah.
That's fair. And the Supergirl stuff. I like that a lot, too.
Yeah.
And to think, man, originally the plan was to have Michael Keaton... In the original version of this, he was supposed to be in this movie, and Michael Keaton was supposed to be the connective tissue. And we saw how much ass he kicked in The Flash.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the future will never be.
He was the one that was supposed to get out of the car at the end of The Flash. It was supposed to be Michael Keaton. And it's Michael Keaton's voice, right? Like, isn't that the deal on the phone?
Oh, I don't know.
And then at the last second, I think they tried to get Bale, and Bale was like, no, no. Absolutely not.
I just thought it was Clooney. Like, I couldn't tell his voice.
And then
was.
Obviously it's Clooney.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, it's...
This four-day opening is estimated 29 to 40 million.
Come talk to me about, you know, how bad the Marvels did.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I was just thinking that, like, you're allowed to like what you like, but right. If you like this but complained about the Marvels,
you got problems.
Yeah. You're not a good person. No. Like, that's just
you're not a good person.
No, that's just all there is.
Yeah, the Marvels had the Marvels is the 33rd movie in the MCU. Well, that's insane sounding.
Yeah,
wow.
The lowest domestic opening weekend, 47 million. And this movie's probably going to do half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if that's not a testament to what, you know, the fact that Superman versus, this is, I'll go back to this every single time, Superman versus Batman didn't make $1 billion.
Yeah,
that's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
You should be able to get to that without even trying.
Remember we talked about it. We're like, you put Batman and Superman, we said that should be the first $1 billion movie.
Should
easy.
Be.
Right. You put them together, people have been waiting for this.
Yeah.
It does, forever.
And don't let them fight. Let them be friends. Like, they don't have to fight,
right.
Surprisingly enough. Ugh. Let them...
Even the comic books always do that.
I know.
They have a reason for them to fight, so you can see which one's stronger.
Yeah, you don't know Superman. Comic books, Joe.
It's always Superman.
Well, yes. Superman versus a really smart... As a middle-aged white guy, I'm a fan of white privilege as much as the next racist.
I bet you are.
But, like, there's only so much... That's gonna do against Superman.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I'm gonna melt your face from space.
But that's the fun thing though, is that it's always Batman can always figure out a way. He can't beat him in strength, but he's so smart that he'll always find a way to, you know, kryptonite.
To
you know,
screw
he's
up a just, movie.
Yeah.
Well, not to screw up. He didn't always screw up a movie. We have a great movie called The Batman from
that's true.
A year ago.
But he doesn't fight Superman in that.
Well, yeah.
And I do like that. I appreciate that James Gunn went to this is the from I think from James Gunn where he said. I think they wanted to bring Matt Reeves as Batman into the DCU, and he asked Reeves, and Reeves was like, no, thank you.
Okay, I was going to say, I think Reeves said, I'm not doing a franchise
thing. I think they asked him,
yeah.
And he was like, no, thanks.
You want me to make these movies? I'm making Batman
but
movies.
His Arkham series is in the DCU.
So we're going to have two simultaneous Batmans,
yes.
Which we already did. But
yeah, yeah. We're going to
his well, Arkham series?
Yeah, that series for HBO. They're going to do their
I've
Arkham
lost
series.
There's a Penguin series. There's so much stuff.
The Penguin series can't be because that's not. But the Arkham series can be. Hmm. Yeah, well, because the Batman we're going to get in the DC, in the new DCU is the dad. Like Damian's going to be in it, and it's going to be a very different Batman.
Well, I'm ready for a break. As much as I love superhero stuff, it's like I am at the point where it's fine.
Marvel doesn't have... A lot of stuff coming out in 20. I mean, What If season 2? I think just dropped.
And mm-hmm. I think the only movie slated for next year is
Captain America
is Deadpool.
Oh, I think Captain America is too.
Is it?
I think so because they filmed it. It's done. I think. With Harrison Ford taking over as
Captain America.
Oh my god, that would be insane and awesome. Thunderbolt Ross.
Yeah. So anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21. Also, if you check out Binge Movies, Jason and I did a 4-episode breakdown of the comparisons between the old school wrestling territories and how they all kind of dissolved and how that factors into current modern day like movie studios and how that all works. Also, if you like my shirt, you should go to Basler Screen Printing. And pick one up because this is a Krampus shirt just in time for Christmas.
I'm just trying to think.
Except they will hear this after Christmas.
Right. Well, still, hopefully it's still available by then.
I was going to say,
just in time for
New Year's
King Day.
Does that screw him up if, like, it's the shirt of the month club, like, you order on the 31st and he's already got the printing shut down. He's ready for January when someone actually goes and orders. Oh, man. But you know what? It's Matt F. Bosler.
That's right.
Whatever. Yeah. Make him do it. This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tommy. Follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at facebook.com/realspoilers. And don't forget our Patreon at patreon.com/realspoilers. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Bessie gives Henry new glasses. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's gonna ruin the plot. We'll be right back.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.